For our scripture this morning, we'll be reading from the NRSV, from Acts chapter 4, verses 31 to 35. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those with owned land or houses sold them, and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Blessings, Randy, as you bring the message.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be gathered together in the name of Jesus, our Lord. On Tuesdays, we pray here at Whitmer Heights. You're welcome to join us. I know some of you have to work. Some of you are students. Some of you have other commitments, but we pray Tuesdays. And that's how the text this morning opens up. In prayer group on Tuesdays, we talk about how we can have a remembrance for all of the needs in our congregation. In prayer group Tuesday morning, we pray for our community. We pray for our world. We pray for all of you. And oftentimes as we begin prayer group, someone will lead a little devotional. And on Tuesday, John Landis here. He had a great little devotional for us. And he reminded us to not have an Easter letdown, and that we should be celebrating Easter every day, remembering the resurrection of our Jesus. And what a great reminder. And from that Tuesday prayer time and looking at the lectionary text this morning, I was drawn to the text in Acts, which is a story of the early church trying to be a church that remembers the resurrection of Jesus. And what does that look like? It's true that we can have a bit of an Easter letdown. We had such an amazing time last Sunday. We were at Claire and Anna's for an awesome sunrise service, and then we had a beautiful combined service. We had an awesome breakfast around the campfire. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, and then we had family gatherings and food. And then it's this next, in that week to follow then, just how quickly, it's amazing to me how quickly then we can just kind of move on from Easter. And so this morning I wanted us to think together about how are we a church that celebrates Easter every Sunday? What does that church look like? On the Christian calendar, the Eastertide season is actually 50 days. 50 days we can celebrate Easter until Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the early church. And so in our text this morning in Acts, we can ask this question: how from those early disciples of Jesus who saw the resurrected Lord, and then that church that began to grow slowly of men and women who were trying to follow this Jesus the Christ, Messiah, what did their church look like? How did they figure out what it meant to follow this risen Christ? How did they witness to the resurrection? So I'd like to suggest 4 points this morning of what an Easter church can look like. We are figuring out together how to follow Jesus, and I would suggest that these early disciples, men and women, were also figuring it out, just like we were. They were asking questions. They probably didn't always agree. I'm sure they didn't. And yet there is this sense of community and working together. So first, what does an Easter church look like? This morning, I believe one place we see an Easter church is one where the Holy Spirit is invited and at work. An Easter church is one where the Holy Spirit is invited and at work. We read in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So from the beginning, we see that this early church is filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts connects with the author of John and many of the writers of the Gospels in linking the gift of the Holy Spirit with the resurrection. They go so closely together. Paul claims in Romans 8:11, he says this, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Close link between the power of the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us life. And in John's Gospel, it is the risen Jesus who breathes the Spirit upon his followers in John 20:22. And Jesus himself promises to the disciples in Acts 1:8, a passage often regarded as a preview of the entire book of Acts, links the Holy Spirit with power. And we will often say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we use that phrase a lot. And one of the places that we see that is in Peter's Pentecost sermon, where he identifies the Spirit as a gift bestowed upon Jesus through his resurrection and ascension. The idea of the power of the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the church is so closely linked in the Gospels and in Acts, and we can't forget that. What does that mean for us this morning as we think about a church, an Easter church that lives in the resurrection and the Holy Spirit? I think very simply it means saying, hey, we can't do this on our own. I cannot do this on my own power. It's not just me trying to do good things as good people and see how much good we can do in this world. No. Rather, it's not by my own ability to do good, but it's a joining in the work of something bigger than me, bigger than us. The fact that the Holy Spirit is closely connected with the resurrection says we're a part of something bigger. It's not just on our own power. It's God's power through the Holy Spirit working through us. It links us with the things that God is doing in this world. And we join God in that work through the power of the Holy Spirit. As Anabaptists, we probably don't talk enough about the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. I'm going to be honest, I probably don't talk nearly enough about the Holy Spirit in my sermons. But I want to grow in that. Because if I look at this, the Gospels and the early church in Acts, there is just no question that the Holy Spirit was so at work in those early followers of Christ. It says in this text that the Holy Spirit helped them to speak and speak boldly the Word of God. I love the word, and this is from the New International Version, but spoke the word of God boldly. We need boldness today. We need the word of God more than ever. A word of good news spoken boldly. And it says that the Holy Spirit helped them to do that, to speak boldly. One place where I think we can remember a place where the word of God was spoken boldly. And we remember the life of Martin Luther King Jr., who this past week, April 4th, 50 years ago, was assassinated. He spoke the word boldly, a word of racial reconciliation. may we also speak boldly by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first point, an Easter church lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, what does an Easter church look like? It says all the believers were one in heart and mind. One in heart and mind. What could we take away from that, from this early church? Well, I like what Palmer Becker says. He wrote about what is an Anabaptist Christian. He says, community is the center of our faith. Community is a center of our faith, and I see that being closely connected here to the picture we see of the early church in Acts, where they were of one heart and mind. When I hear that, I think of close community and a spirit of unity. To be of one heart and mind is not saying that everybody was exactly the same person. Unanimity. Did I say that right? Simply, it's saying that in all of their uniqueness, they still somehow had a spirit that brought them together of one heart and mind. It's amazing. I think that is to have a center. To have one in heart and mind is to have a center that they can agree on. What was the center for that early church? Well, they were truly trying to figure that out. Trying to hold their Jewish traditions and the stories that they were passed down around the campfires from great-grandpa. And trying to hold all of those stories that were passed down with now this resurrected Jesus, the Christ, who is now at the center of their faith. They were of one heart and mind that Jesus was their Messiah, that Jesus pointed to God the Father, and that the Holy Spirit was at work in their midst. They had to be of one heart and mind that God wanted them to live in a way that testified to God in their midst. One heart and mind that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, they had salvation. Not through all of the ways previously they understood salvation in their Jewish lineage, but now a new way to understand salvation through the grace of God seen in Jesus. For Jews and for Gentiles and the whole world. That is something that had to be at the center of this early church in order for the story to get passed on. The story that we're a part of. For us, we ask the same question. How are we of one heart and mind as an Easter church? How do we follow Jesus together in the midst of so much polarizing and challenging topics? Do we disagree on some things here at Whitmer Heights? Yes, you betcha. You already know that. I don't have to tell you that. But there is still a spirit of one heart and mind in this congregation. You also know that. You also keep Jesus at the center of your faith. Praise the Lord. How are we as a congregation in the midst of our diversity continuing to work at unity, just as the early church did, where Jesus is the center of our faith and community is the center of our life? So second, an Easter church is one where everyone is of one heart and mind. We can figure out together how we continue to do that. Third, what does an Easter church look like? We see in this text that it's a church of mutual aid. It says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And we read just two verses later that God's grace was so powerfully at work within them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. My favorite part of those verses is in verse 2, or when we read just two verses after they claim that all of their possessions were shared, it says, God's grace was so powerfully at work within them. Wow. That's the reason why they shared everything, because God's grace was so powerfully at work. Mutual aid. I'm blown away by the emphasis on sharing in the early church and not storing up for themselves, making sure everyone had enough at the table. We know that the early church didn't always get that right, and that much of what Paul and the apostles are often talking about in their letters is that they haven't been sharing good enough. But we see a vision here, a picture of what the church and its faithfulness can look like, where a resurrected Jesus is at the center. It's a church where there has to be sharing. It's just so central to the early church's idea of church. This idea of mutual aid. It's been pretty important to Anabaptists for 500 years. I think of just the name of Everence before it became Everence. It was called Mennonite Mutual Aid. Right there it is. We see a pretty good picture there of the hope that the way that we do our credit union and our investments as Anabaptists, that it would show something particularly interesting in how we think about sharing. And Everence is still doing a lot of amazing things in how they're trying to share and distribute. Many of you are a part of that. In our own congregation, you have all worked at mutual aid in many different contexts. We are still figuring out how to do that faithfully, what it means to have our own things and then things that we share. I wanted to just highlight one place in our congregation where we see mutual aid. And it's an article that was just published, Mim Eberle in EMM. Mim recognized a need in Belize. What was that need? Secondary education is not free in Belize. And it's actually extremely difficult for good education for affording it. According to a 2017 study in UNICEF, 27% of girls and 30% of boys do not enroll in school past the primary level. The cost of high school varies widely, from around $300 per year to $3,000. Just simply not affordable. And we know that education is so important to breaking some of the cycles, the systems of poverty. Education empowers. It's sustainable. It's better than just giving a check and saying, here, use this money. Giving money to education is empowering them. And Mim saw that. And she started the Belize Evangelical Mennonite Church Scholarship Fund in 2014, which provides scholarships to secondary students who attend Mennonite churches. The number of students who receive scholarships varies each year. In 2017-2018, Mim helped to provide 20 of them. But it spread, and it inspired others to join in. And in 2016, three of her siblings were also inspired to begin contributing to a sustainable and empowering mutual aid to help Belizean children go to school. Not just a sibling bonding experience, but also an opportunity for them to help bless others. And I especially love the end of the article. It says, recalling special moments of her 2016 trip to Belize, Eberle remembered meeting scholarship recipients, Mariala, Patricia, and Jennifer, and Sally Padilla at New Jerusalem Mennonite Church in Duck Run, Belize. As they posed for a picture together, Eberle said in Spanish, my daughters, nuestra mama, our mother, they responded as the camera captured the moment. So profound, because we even see in this early gospel, in the early church, that our first family is not our biological family. Our first family is the church. And so those words, my daughters, my mother, are extremely profoundly awesome, Mim. And Mim has said, if you would like to be a part of the scholarship fund, talk to her. There are opportunities to bless and support more children in Belize. Mutual aid that we see in the early church and we see continuing today right here in our own congregation. What does an early church look like? It looks like a church that has learned how to share its possessions. And finally, fourth, the Easter church looks like a church that will continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We read in this text, right in the middle, that they were continuing to testify to the resurrection in word and in deed. And not just testify, but with great power, it says in verse 33. With great power, they testified. What does the word testify mean? One definition that I liked, it said, it can mean to continue what was previously happening. To continue is to testify. To continue what? It was to continue the work of what Jesus had already started in his life, death, and resurrection. In Acts, the church not only continues the ministry of Jesus, but amplifies it. And time and again, Jesus' followers repeat whatever Jesus had already done. Jesus' ministry begins with the Spirit's descent at his baptism in Luke 3, and Acts begins when the Spirit rests upon the believers in Acts 2. Jesus, Peter, and Paul have many of the same encounters with centurions, lepers, people who cannot walk, teaching, miracles, healing, simply continuing the work of Jesus, restoring life to people who apparently had died. This early church was with power continuing the work of Jesus. Salvation history. And the same early church that was continuing the work of Jesus. How cool is it to think that over 2,000 years later, we are a part of that same story, who is continuing the work of Jesus. We are figuring out together how to follow Jesus. We are figuring out together how to be a church that testifies to the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Fourth, what does an Easter church look like? It witnesses with power to the resurrection. In conclusion, I'd like to close with a short story that gives us a glimpse of the Easter church. In the fall of 1922, Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, sent 50 Fortson tractors and two bottom Oliver plows. I don't know if some of you appreciate farm equipment. I don't know what that means, but two bottom Oliver plows to Ukraine. And what do you think they were sent there for? This is the year 1922. MCC is such in the beginning, early stages, and you can just imagine them around that board table 96 years ago. And they knew that there was a need in Russia, in Ukraine. And they were asking together, what can we do that is empowering and sustaining and not just giving a band-aid? And they said, let's get creative and let's send 50 Fortson tractors and two bottom Oliver plows to Ukraine so that they can try to do some farming. They were delivered along with many other food and relief supplies needed to in rural farm areas following the Bolshevik Revolution. By the 1st of December 1922, literally months later, 4,327 acres had been plowed to prepare the Ukrainian soil for the first crop of rye. 96 years later, that same spirit of mutual aid and food distribution is still happening as canned meat and many other essential supplies are sent to places like Russia, North Korea, Puerto Rico, and other places around the world. The story continues. On April 6, 2018, Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church, a small Mennonite church in East Lampeter Township, decided that they wanted to continue to be a part of the Mennonite Central Committee. And through a program called My Coins Count, they donated almost $17,000 for clean water and other programs in MCC. Many of the congregation's attendees also attended the Mennonite Central Committee relief sale that weekend, where they indulged in pretzel sandwiches, steak sandwiches, pork barbecue, chicken corn soup, chicken wings, strawberry pie, homemade ice cream, and the best donuts around. Among many other things, many left on a serious sugar high. And yet they left fulfilled as they had great fellowship and supported the work of MCC's mission and vision of relief and development in the name of Christ around the world. Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church saw the work of MCC as a part of God's work of reconciliation in the world. It was one small way to testify to the fact that Christ was risen. And they wanted to join God in the work of resurrection through relief and development in the name of Christ. May we continue to be an Easter church, not on our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.